every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Farm living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, the fourth Saturday of the month, so we are talking urban farming. Farmer Greg, who's joining us via the modern technology miracle Zoom. Good morning, Farmer Greg. I see the video background. Radio listeners can't see, and you've got a beautiful... are those peach trees sitting behind you?
Those are peach trees behind me.
Beautiful display of peach trees, and it just so happens to be the topic of today, fruit trees.
Oh, there you go. Oh, well, you know, I'm a proponent of why plant anything if you can't eat it?
Good point.
Good question. And there's a lot of other things we could get into as it relates to shade and the reduced exposure, but that's not, we can accomplish that with an edible tree too.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, there are edible trees like mesquite and Palo Verde. They make beans that you can eat, and they grow tall and give us all kinds of great shade that you can grow fruit trees underneath.
Oh, you fruit tree underneath a mesquite tree. Never thought of that.
Yeah, absolutely. They provide a nice amount of shade, not complete shade. You know, the desert trees aren't dense shade. And the other cool thing is both the Palo Verdes and the mesquites are nitrogen fixers. So that means all those little leaves that fall off of them throughout the year, they have a little bit of nitrogen in them. So that'll, that'll fertilize
organic
the ground
fertilizer.
Underneath the trees. There you go.
But we are talking more specifically today, fruit trees, because we've got our, the pop-up nursery will be coming and the annual fruit tree orders. And let's talk about, first of all, looking at your talking points here, the three no-nos in shade trees.
Yeah. So what I've learned over the years, I've learned two very significant things. Thing number one is what you can do to kill your trees. And thing number two is all the data that you need to have in order to make sure that you get a tree that actually fruits here in Phoenix. And so we're going to talk about that in a little while. But let's talk about how to kill your fruit trees. And why would we want to know how to kill our fruit trees?
So we don't kill our fruit trees.
There you go.
That was a very exactly. Miyagi way you presented that question.
Very good, Master.
Exactly. And one of the things that I've noticed over and over and over again that people do to kill their fruit trees is they have a gravel or dirt yard, and they take this brand new little tree and they plant it out in the middle of a gravel or dirt and don't provide it any protection from the sun. And my thing, and this is a perfect time of year to do this, go out at 3 o'clock this afternoon and stand for 20 minutes where you want to plant this fruit tree, or really any tree, and ask yourself, would I want to live here?
That 20 minutes, you will feel like an eternity.
If you last 20 minutes.
Right.
Get yourself a tree costume that you can put on and then go stand out there so you can get right? the real effect.
Start the timer on your phone and it won't be 30 seconds. You'll be looking at it like, all right, how long have I been out here?
Right. I get a lot of input from people because I invite people to email me at fruittrees@urbanfarm.org and with their fruit tree pictures. And you can't imagine the trees that I see, the pictures that I see of stuff that people do. And I have solutions for all of it that I've developed over the last 45 years because I planted my first fruit tree here in Phoenix in 1975. I have killed a lot of fruit trees, not on purpose, but now I know what not to do. And planting them in straight up dirt or gravel is a death knell for the tree.
So that's dirt or
one.
Gravel. And
right now,
if you stay tuned through the hour, you'll learn what to add with it.
Exactly.
But we've got a couple more points to cover here first on what not to do.
Right. So, yeah, I have solutions for all of this stuff. You just have to listen. And thing number two is planting a tree right in the middle of a grass lawn. what invariably happens is the grass lawn outcompetes the tree for nutrients, and you get this poor little stick in the middle of your lawn.
So,
And there's,
I had a question about that because you've said that before, mm-hmm. and you look at a city park and they've got these big trees and lawn on, all around it. So mm-hmm. how did they plant the tree first and the lawn came later?
There's a myriad of things that could happen. First of all, you actually planted in the lawn and the tree succeeds. And I've seen that happen before in spite of everything and how it's treated. Number two is they actually cut a basin out and put woody mulch around the basin. We're going to talk about that in a little while. And that, you know, that helps a lot. But there's so many factors inside of lawn and lawn care that work against fruit trees. So if there's one successfully growing in a lawn, it's because it either had extra care or you just got lucky.
And observation I made is you look around it and that lawn has died off. Like that, the shade from the tree, it kind of protects itself and it pushes the lawn out. So you never yeah. really see it all the way up to the trunk. The tree kind of has a way of, you know, keeping the light from getting to the grass that it needs to grow, and it kind of makes its own defense against it.
Yeah, and that eventually happens, absolutely.
So no lawns.
And well, you can do it in a lawn, but you got to have the solution. I'll talk about that in a little while. Thing number three that you don't want to ever do is drip irrigation. You never want to put drip irrigation on your trees. I have a solution if that's your only choice, which I'll share about in a little while. But these are the three things that invariably kill more fruit trees than I've ever seen. And that's that you planted in a very hot microclimate, grass or gravel or dirt. You planted in grass, so the grass outcompetes it, or you drip irrigate it. And usually what happens is you get one drip emitter right next to the trunk, and it comes on for 3 minutes or 8 minutes once a day. And you're getting this little column of water that goes down and waters that area. And all of the roots in the drip line of the tree. So the drip line, imagine you have a tree and it's 8 feet tall and 8 feet wide. If you stood right above that tree and looked straight down, anything on the ground that you couldn't see, that's inside the drip line. That's at least where the roots are at. And if you have one drip emitter right next to the trunk of the tree, it's just putting water right next to the trunk of the tree, and the rest of that area is not getting any water. Hence, we get these storms that happen and knock over trees. We've all seen them. It's because the trees aren't getting deep watered. And that's really what we need to do, is make sure that you are putting a system in place so that tree gets deep watered.
Deep water means deep roots, and deep roots means non-blown over tree from a microburst.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So as I said earlier, I've got solutions for all those, but there are some things that people need to know about fruit trees in the desert. And I've developed this over the past 25, 30 years of looking at nurseries and big box stores. And there's just one thing that frosts the daylights out of me. And that is that you can go into every big box store and most local nurseries, and they will sell you a fruit tree that will never make fruit here in the valley. And there's a myriad of reasons for that. I'm going to cover that next, but you need to know these things if you're going to successfully grow a fruit tree and get fruit. And thing number one is what we call chill hours. We get, and this was as of 5 years ago, we get approximately 350 hours of chill in the low desert. Chill is anything under 43, 42 degrees. And it accumulates over the course of the winter. So from November to February, those are when the chill hours show up. We get about 350 hours. If you plant an apple tree or a peach tree or a plum tree, apricot tree, that requires more than 350 hours of chill, it is highly likely that you will never get any fruit. So you need to make sure that the tree that you're buying, the deciduous fruit tree, this does not count for citrus, the deciduous fruit tree that you buy requires less than, I'm even going 300 hours of chill these days because it's getting warmer here. So you need a low chill tree. So when you walk up, did you have something, Romy?
I was going to say, didn't you have like a website that you use to look at a chill hour map so you could see the different elevations throughout the state?
There used to be. It no longer is.
Oh.
I know. I know.
How does something like that go away? That's quite a handy tool.
Yes, it was. So just assume that if you're in the low desert, you need to get a low chill tree, less than 300 hours. When you walk up to that tree that you want to buy, the deciduous trees, these are apples, peaches, apricots, plums, those kinds of things. Look, grab the tag on the tree. And if it doesn't tell you how many chill hours are required, walk away from the tree. We all have smartphones. You could actually look on your smartphone and, look it up if there was a name on the tree. But I was at a Walmart a few years ago, and I always walk through, whenever I go near those places, I walk through their garden center. And I walked through the garden center of this Walmart, and there was a tree in there, and all the tag said was peach. There are hundreds, maybe thousands of different varieties of peaches, and a dozen of them will make fruit here in the low desert. And all that tag said was peach. Run away from it as quick as you can.
We've got a lot more to talk about here with Farmer Greg at Rosie on the House.